and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect in the middle of the week on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as the weekend unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it is great to be with you here in the middle of the week.
It's good to be here. We appreciate our growing audience as we try to spread God's word and encourage you as we think about the week that we have.
You and I have talked a number of times over the course of the last couple of weeks that we have been so encouraged by the feedback. Just every time we get together with our Charlestown Road family on Sundays or Wednesdays, it seems like someone is talking to us in person about what the podcast is meaning to them, but we're also hearing from people all over the United States, and we appreciate the encouragement even as we're trying to be an encouragement to others. Roger, you spoke this past Sunday morning. You actually wrapped up a three-part series on how God sees certain things. You talked about seeing the church as God sees it, seeing baptism, why baptism matters so much to God, and then seeing us as God sees us. All of those sermons are freely available at charlestownroad.org. If you haven't been able to watch or listen to those, we'd encourage you to go back and take the time to catch up with us. But this past Sunday morning, seeing us as God sees us. And you had Psalm 8 as your key text to launch that study. What stood out to you about Psalm 8?
Well, you know, this is part of our theme for the year, which is Now That I See. And we're basing it on, of course, the year 2020, having that perfect vision, having God's perspective, being able to see things as God sees it. And so in Psalms 8, the psalmist is beginning the chapter by talking about the wonder of God, God's marvelous name. And then he goes on to describe the creation of God. And written by David, you can almost imagine a young shepherd boy out at night with the sheep, laying in the fields, looking up at the stars. And he sees all these stars, dark as it could be. And then a question's asked in verse 4, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? And his thought was, you look at this big, big creation. These stars are so far away. We look at all the things that God has made, and we're just a little bitty spot here. Who are we? And the text unfolds this by saying God's thinking about us, God cares for us, God crowns us with glory, and that God puts us in charge of his creation. And he does that to no other aspect of creation. And so David's question there is, what makes us so important? And so from that, we looked at our lesson and we talked about seeing us as God sees us. And from that, we began by talking about there are really three different views of us.
Three different views. Number one, how the world sees us. Number two, how we see ourselves. And number three, how God sees us. We figured here in the middle of the week, maybe you're on your way to work or school or doing something around the house. What a great refreshing thing, recapping thing to look back. It's been a few days since Sunday, and maybe, number one, I have been paying a lot more attention to how the world sees me than I ought to. This past Sunday night, one of the biggest award shows in Hollywood, and you wake up Monday morning as I was watching the news. It's all about what different people were wearing on Sunday night at the Oscars and what designers were involved in all of that. And here we are in Southern Indiana, and we're not dressing up like that. And yet, perhaps we can still give way too much attention, maybe unhealthy attention, to how the world sees us. What do we need to understand about, as disciples of Jesus, looking at the way the world sees in the right biblical perspective?
You know, so many times what other people think about us determines our choices and our actions. Some are so wanting to please others that they'll do things that they don't even want to do, but they want to do that because it makes the other person happy. Looking good on the outside, the appearance, while there's really no substance on the inside, that's the idea behind this thought, how the world sees us. Long as we look good, we have a great-looking family, we have a great-looking house. But what happens within that house? What happens within our hearts? Very interesting, in Matthew 23, as Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, this very concept comes up in verse 25. Jesus would say, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside are full of robbery and self-indulgence." They look great on the outside. And as you would maybe go to a restaurant and they bring you a cup or a fork and maybe it looks good, but you look inside that cup and it hasn't been washed. Immediately you'd say, "I want another cup. This just isn't right." And that was the Pharisees, making sure they looked good to others, but they really weren't anything on the inside.
That's an ancient problem that continues on even today. When I thought of that point, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is describing himself, his fellow apostles, even some of the Christians there in Corinth. In the eyes of the world, these earliest Christians, he says, "We're weak, we're in disrepute, we're the ones who are poorly dressed." Some of them were homeless. They were laboring and not getting nearly what perhaps others in the world were getting. "We're reviled," he says. "We're persecuted. We're slandered. We are like," he goes so far as to say in 1 Corinthians 4:13, "We are like the scum of the world." But you think about where the apostles, where the saints who were in Corinth then, what they enjoy now, the reward that is theirs now. You had people in Corinth who undoubtedly had the greatest clothes, lived in the greatest houses of the day, would easily look down on some of these lowly Christians who weren't availing themselves of some of the luxuries and the temptations of the day. And why would anyone choose to deny themselves for a God that they can't see with their physical eyes? Paul says, this is the way some in the world see us. But I guarantee you, if we had the opportunity today to trade places in eternity with some of the higher-ups in Corinth who didn't respect God and were looking down on the apostles as the scum of the world, there's no doubt which choice we would make now. That involves seeing as God sees.
And that concept, you know, trickles down to, sometimes people will ridicule you for not having fun. Well, why don't you go out and do some things? And their definition of fun involves wrong things, things that God has declared to be wrong. And so there comes a time when we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow what the world says? We're going to do what God says. So how the world sees us is one view that people have of us.
This world is passing away. We don't want it to be the driving lens through which we see our entire life. Number two was how we see ourselves. Why is it worth on a Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, why is it worth thinking about what matters in the way we look at ourselves? Why is that a critical point?
That's important because how we view ourselves is going to impact our relationship with God. If I view that, I'm just no good, God doesn't love me, I'm not worth saving, I'm just a nobody going nowhere, then that's just going to affect the choices I make. That feeling can, we can go from one extreme, that is following what the world says. Whatever the world says is of us, that's what we're going to do. Or the other extreme is we can just pull within ourselves and think that we're just a bunch of nobodies. And again, that pulls us back to Psalms chapter 8, when the psalmist would say, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? God thinks about us. God cares about us. So we need to have the proper view of ourselves. The proverb writer would say in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, for as he thinketh within himself, so he is. And that brings us to two extremes. One extreme is we think too highly of ourselves. We think we can walk on water. We get arrogant. We get prideful. And we think, I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need God. I can do it on my own. Well, that's a wrong view of self. The other extreme is to think too lowly of ourselves and to think that we're not capable of doing anything right and that we're no good at all. And that view also is not right.
Both of those are distortions of the way God would have us to see. One is not appreciating at all how amazing it is that God has created us in his image. There are a lot of people, especially very young people, who have very low views of themselves. And maybe that comes, even as heartbreaking as it is, from what they've heard at home. They've heard all of their lives that they're not enough, they're not good enough, they're not smart enough, they're not pretty enough. That has the ability to cut a young heart to the core. But maybe there's someone listening even right here and right now. We want you to realize that is not how your Creator sees you. He sees you, as we'll talk in just a moment, on both the outside and the inside. He loves you so much that he gave his Son for you. He wants you to be heaven bound. He wants you to spend eternity with him. It's really important that we not allow the world, the people around us, maybe even people who are in very close proximity to us, to beat us down. Where, you know, I think of the woman who came to Jesus and no one would give her any attention at all. And in the eyes of, you know, the people around her, she was just like a dog. And
or,
Jesus,
you know, another great example comes to my mind is little old Zacchaeus.
Yes.
Not only was he a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector, and he was very rich. He was on top of the pole of who the Jews would have hated. And there he is climbing up in a tree just with the hopes of seeing Jesus, the Jesus who healed the sick, the Jesus who included a tax collector among his apostles and even went to a tax collector's home. And then as Jesus is walking down that road, heading to Jerusalem to be crucified, he stops. He looks up in that tree, calls Zacchaeus by name, and then he says, I want to come to your house.
We know that man's name because Jesus took the time to see him. We know the story of the woman who just wanted the crumbs from the master's table. We know the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery, where Jesus looks at her and sees her and tells her, go and sin no more. Really important that we not let the world beat us down where we think less of ourselves than God. But equally important that we don't have this self-inflated view where, in the language of the Laodiceans in Revelation 3, you know, we're rich, we've prospered, we have need of nothing, not realizing how serious things are on the inside. Pride can crush us spiritually just as surely as low self-esteem. So, number one, seeing the lens of the world, how the world sees us. Number two, how we see ourselves. But all of this is really leading to the healthy middle, if you will, seeing ourselves as God sees us. What do you want to make sure people hear in the middle of this week about how God sees us?
Well, first and foremost, you know, God's view of us is most important. You know, whatever the world thinks of me, right or wrong, good or bad, that's not going to change my eternity. what I even think about myself. That may affect my choices, but how God views me, that is so important. And it's interesting, when Jesus came to earth, he took on the form of a person, a human being. He didn't come in form of a tree. He didn't come in form of an animal. It was like us that Jesus became. And then Jesus died for us. He didn't die for the planet. He didn't die to save the trees, save the animals. He died to save us. And so that's the beginning point of how God sees us. Wrong as we have been, mistakes and sins within our lives, God still sees us as worth saving. We have a value there. You know, most times when things are broken, we throw them away. We don't save burnout light bulbs. We don't save batteries are no longer good. You know, those things are no longer useful. We throw them away. Well, when we became broken, God didn't throw us away. He saw that we can be redeemed. We can be fixed. We can be made right through Jesus Christ.
And anyone can get in on that. The rich young ruler could get in on that. I mean, you think about those three words. In the eyes of the world, that's the pinnacle, right? To be rich, to be young, to be in charge. That man needed to humble himself to see as God sees. But then you've got a Zacchaeus or the woman in John 8 caught in the act of adultery. They also could get in on this if they would see as God sees. We've got this fascinating statement in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 in connection with Samuel the prophet looking for the next king of Israel. And the Lord tells him, I don't see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. And that's what each one of us will do today as we go to the grocery store, as we go to the restaurant, as we assemble with brothers and sisters in Christ this evening for Bible classes. We will see the outward appearance. But young and old, we need to realize that's not what matters most. The Lord sees the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. You used a passage from the Gospel of Mark that talks about what comes out of the heart.
Yes, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within, and they defile the man. We use the expression sometimes not to judge a book by its cover. And the idea is, here's this book, it's got a beautiful, beautiful cover, but the contents are nothing. We sometimes use the expression dressed to the nines. Somebody's just dressed up, they look wonderful. Much like Jason just mentioned about the folks dressed up at the Oscars. But inside, corrupt talking, evil speaking, the idea of pride in their hearts, that's what God sees. God sees beyond the label, beyond the wrapper. He sees what's within our hearts. And so that's why throughout the Gospels, Jesus is driving at the idea of having pure thoughts, thinking well of each other, having compassion and kindness within your hearts. And again, how easy it is just to kind of walk through life thinking, well, I look good, I can fool all these people, but God knows.
We need help for our hearts is what I hear you saying. And more square footage in a new house isn't going to heal the heart. A faster car, a shinier iPhone, whatever it is that you want to talk about, things that the world puts so much emphasis on, these things come from within. The outside may look good, but we need inner help, and it is God, our Creator, our Savior, who is willing to do that for us. I love the summary statement in Matthew 9 when Jesus is walking through the region of Galilee. Verse 36 says, He saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's the way a lot of people are today. And what we want to come through loud and clear is God sees you. That there's no fooling him. That can be a haunting thought, but hopefully on the opposite side, that's a comforting thought. God already knows what's going on. God hasn't given up on us. God is willing to help us if we will be honest and see as he sees.
I think sometimes that's why we worry about the appearance and how other people see us. We sometimes think, if somebody really knew me, they wouldn't like me. If you really knew what I thought, you wouldn't like me. And so we put on these pretenses and we play these little games with each other. But God already knows, and yet God still loves you.
Three different views: how the world sees us, how we see ourselves, how God sees us. That really leads to a question that we'll leave you with for the rest of the day. How do you see God? That's where all of this is ultimately leading, and will hopefully shape the way that you live, the way that you treat others, the way that you treat the precious time that he's given you today. How do you see him? Do you recognize how majestic he is, going back to Psalm 8? Do you realize that he is important enough to give everything that you have and everything that you are to? Roger, any closing thoughts on that idea?
Well, it's just the idea that God really loves you, and God really wants you to be in heaven with him forever. And he's done all that he can. Now it's up to us.
I have really appreciated this three-part series. And again, if you missed any of those lessons, as God sees the church, as God sees baptism, as God sees us, those are all freely available at charlestownroad.org. If you were here in person and found those helpful and encouraging, what an easy way to share with others from the website, on social media, or whatever it is. This is a message that the people in the world and the people of God need to hear. This Sunday morning, I have the privilege of speaking in our 9:30 assembly. We would love to have you join us. We just recently began reading through the Old Testament book of Job. In fact, last Wednesday, we spent some time setting the table for that, and many in our church family, and I think even beyond, are reading along with us. I'm going to talk this Sunday morning about things Job's friends didn't see that we need to see. One of the greatest blessings of the church is the opportunity to be a comfort and encouragement to each other. And one of the classic lessons that we can learn from Job's friends is it matters what we say, and when we say it, and how we say it. And so that will be a good opportunity just to think about some lessons we can learn from the friends of Job. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. As I mentioned, we would love to see you in person this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. We have Bible classes for all ages at approximately 10:45 a.m., and then we will come back together for an assembly of worship on Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. We're always looking forward to Sunday. It is the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.